Welcome back. Hour 3, driving you home on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 at ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter, ESPN Radio Lexington on Facebook, and we are joined now, Matthew and Chuck, by the Jeff Drummond.
There's only one.
There is only one. Jeff?
Really? He's the managing editor and photographer for Cats Illustrated on the Rivals Network. He's also married to Dee Drum, which is the more important thing. You can follow him on Twitter at jdrumuk or go to kentucky.rivals.com. The estimable Jeff Drummond. Wow. Hi, Jeff.
Can you use that in a sentence? Wait a minute. You just
Hello. Country of origin, maybe.
Never mind.
Okay. Never mind. Here's, you know what I thought about the game Saturday in Gainesville was I was upset at the end of that game that you weren't there to take pictures. I'm serious. When they're not alone and there's a victory like that, I always think when I see a picture from it, I always go, boy, I wish Jeff was there because that's not that good. That's I wish you were there.
Oh, that would have been a fun one to take part in. It would have told the story of two different halves. You know, you would have had the down and out from the first and the joy of the comeback. But sometimes those make the very best galleries possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And just pictures of the bench, too, and videos of the bench, too.
All three of them.
All three of the people on the bench. One of whom had fouled out. But let's be honest, okay? I talked about this earlier. I think I'm the only one. I don't even think Cal thought that. I'm the only one that can say I told you so. The only one in Big Blue Nation.
And you've been saying it for two full days now.
What's your point?
None.
At 2:07, which roughly I think was about at the 17-minute mark left in the second half, I tweeted, "This game ain't over." First of all, my feeling was, without Blackshear, Florida was in trouble because their two big guys sucked. That was my first thought. And I honestly thought it looked Florida stopped playing when they got up 18. Did you feel that way?
Well, you know, I didn't get to see every bit of that. I had to, I was covering spring football practice.
Oh, right. On Saturday. That's right.
Part of our staff. So I only got to see, when I joined the game watching it, Kentucky was down like 14 points.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I have no idea how they got to this point, but from the moment I started watching, it was like a completely different game. I joked about it with Don.
Oh, so it was you.
Yeah, I said, yeah, okay. I want to be, when they put in the stats and they have the plus minus for the team, and that everybody likes to follow, I said, mine was plus 15 that day. So I don't know if I should be held responsible
for the first part.
Not being there, right? Should that be counted as a minus for me? I don't know. But it kind of reminded me of the mirror image, or you know, the negative, to use a photography term, from Tuesday's game. It was like Florida did the same thing that Kentucky did against Tennessee, only against a much better team. And you could just kind of sense that once it reached, I think once it reached that 6 or 7, and that's the part that seems to trigger a lot of teams when they have a comeback. When they get the feeling that they're in a two-possession game, it changes everything. And, man, that team that's blowing the lead really tightens up. And it looked to me like that's exactly what Florida did.
You know, the term is game pressure. At a certain point, the team that's up 18 has to deal with game pressure, which they didn't have kind of for most of the game until – we got it to single digits.
Yeah.
And then it's a whole different story.
And, you know, when you get to that point in the game, because Kentucky has played, it's gotten on a lot of people's nerves that Kentucky hasn't blown people out. But because they've gone through this process all season long of having to grind out tough wins, I think it really favored UK down the stretch in that scenario. And that they're like, we've been here, we know what to do when we're in the crunch time.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's talk a little bit. Okay, that game, great, over. It didn't change anything. We're the number one seed in the SEC tournament. If we had lost, it would have been, we wouldn't have liked it. But all the seeding stuff, nobody understands anyway. So we'll see what happens this coming weekend at the tournament, and then it's on. What are your feelings as we're going into the SEC tournament and beyond now? Are we? Who are we? We still don't know. The regular season's over. We don't know.
Well, and you've got the added dimension with Ashton Hagans. You know, is he part of this thing moving forward? And listening to Calipari during the teleconference earlier today, it sounds like he expects him to be back. Now, there could be some changes to his role, and I don't know if he's going to go right back into the lineup, according to Cal. But he thinks some time off will be important to him, that most of this was mental for him. There's a lot of things weighing on that kid right now, and a ton of it that'll probably never get out there and shouldn't get out there in public. And then there's some other things that of his own doing, just strictly basketball related, that I think have compounded, and you've got to this point where he just had kind of a breakdown in that Tennessee game.
Yeah,
and it's a young person. People hate to see it. It's very public, and it's something that fans are very passionate about, Kentucky basketball. So he ends up taking a lot of heat for it. But you can understand when you factor in a lot of things that he's gone through lately, and they're hoping that just a few days away from the team, away from practice, and that's what they're doing today. They had no team drills or anything. It was just individual work and massages. We'll get him, first of all, his head back in the game, and second of all, his body, which people close to the situation have told me he has needed a break. He has been hurting for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Various bumps and bruises and ailments, and he probably needed to sit out a game somewhere anyway. And, this may have given them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I personally think he's going to come back and be great, like he was.
Yeah.
It's also given the team a rallying point. Now we know Keon can do it. Johnny Juzang can do it. Are they going to be spectacular like they were at the end of this game? Maybe not, but we know they can now handle this stuff. And then if you get Ashton back and he's healthier or healthy, and they really rallied around him, even though he wasn't there.
Yeah. Here's the part, maybe the biggest thing I came away with from that game is that the three guys that Cal was forced to play more minutes than he usually does, Juzang, Brooks, and Cestina, because they had no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys just had to go play. Cal is notorious for especially taking two of those guys out of the game for defensive lapses. Juzang and Cestina have limitations on defense, and it kills Cal's soul to ever give up anything defensively. So even though those kids are capable of giving you 8 or 9 points, if they surrender 2 or 3, Cal can't get over that. He's not changing at this point in his career. It drives him batty, and he jerks them out of the game. Well, he couldn't do that Saturday at Florida. They just had to live with it, and I think it turned into a great positive. And maybe going into the tournament, he sees that he can trust these guys, for longer stretches, because what they give them in the net, in that plus-minus we talked about earlier, outweighs the negative that keeps them from playing more.
Well, yeah, and you see what they can do, and I think it, more than anything, just seeing them, when you compound everything, the fact that they were down 18 in the second half and Ashton wasn't there, you can tell them, including Johnny and Keon Brooks, Sistine, all of them, they did this. It seemed like, watching the game, they did this because they wanted to rally around Ashton and let him know, we got your back. And this just shows the entire team that when it's Keon's turn or Nate's turn or Johnny's turn, they can come in and do it. And this kind of gives Cal that act. If maybe they do give up those back-to-back baskets or something on defense, and normally when he would yank them out, he's like, no, they've shown they can do it.
Yeah.
So just kind of give him a little, like, you know, he's never going to give anyone that much slack, but just a little extra, you know?
Yeah, that I think Juzang in particular could be really important moving forward, because at some point in the tournament, when you get in a tough matchup and in a situation, you're going to need a guy to hit that outside shot in some game along the way. And we know that's been the knock on Kentucky all along is, you know, they've got a little bit of it here and there when Quickly, you know, was red hot, but it's not a real consistent part of their offensive attack. And I think they're going to need him. They're going to need him to win them a game at some point if they're going to advance through, you know, six games in the tournament.
Yeah. All right. Before we let you go, let's talk about spring practice.
Sure.
Go.
Well, you couldn't find a happier bunch of people right now anywhere than those coaches and players.
I'll bet.
At UK spring practice. And they are just, you know, bubbling about the potential of this team. For starters, they've got healthy quarterbacks. And it's like, whoa, how do we do this now? They're having to relearn how to practice with actual real quarterbacks that can throw the ball. And that doesn't include Terry Wilson yet, who's just doing some stuff on the side, and he's being held out of, you know, team drills and seven-on-seven stuff, but he can still throw with the receivers a little bit in non-contact situations. But that's the first big part. The second part is how many people they've got out there. It's like 111 guys on this roster now. That includes their walk-on.
Holy cow.
Too, and they are just big and strong. It's impressive what they've done in the weight room, and this is all part of the process. When we talked for years about how important it is for Kentucky to go to bowl games consistently, this is what you do when you stack one on top of the other. Your recruiting gets better, your practice time gets better, your motivation in the weight room gets better, and you're just looking at a bunch of guys out there that don't look anything like, you know, Kentucky teams of the past. It's impressive to see how much talent and just raw physical strength they have.
I have a question. Did they have to feed all those guys?
They do.
Holy cow.
Yeah, take it from someone who used to work at the Commons on campus that supplied the training table for UK football at the time. It ain't easy.
That's where the K fund and all the raised ticket prices are going to. You got to feed those.
Holy cow! Do they eat? It's a lot of carbs.
It really is amazing to look at when you hear their training table meals, how much they put away, and then some of those guys, especially the linemen, when they get done playing, you run into them, you know, a year or so later, they don't look like the same human being.
Yeah,
like they look like normal people after getting off that training table. Rotation that they've been on, but you know, lots of excitement over there. This will be a fun spring, and I think it'll be a fun spring game just because of the you know, the quarterbacks they'll be able to put out there, and they'll actually be able to play more of a real type game.
Yeah.
Other than the, you know, in the past they've had to break down and do some of that offense versus defense, and fans get confused by that. It's just weird, but I think they'll be able to break up into two kind of even teams and cool. Can go at it in the spring game.
Do we? And of course, we like the spring game because Kentucky always wins. They always win that game.
Usually.
So, well, they have to, unless they tie.
Yeah.
Do we have any further word on how Terry's doing?
He's doing well. He told us that he was feeling good after Saturday's practice. Now, he still can't do a great deal of movement yet, as far as what you would expect out of an athlete of his caliber. He's in that stage now of bouncing back from the atrophy.
Yeah.
And that leg, especially, like, I think in the quad and the hamstring, all that stuff is really weak right now. But he said the knee feels good. They did a great job with the structure of it. And he's also taken the opportunity to add some bulk in his upper body.
Yeah.
He looks much more filled out. When he walked over, that's the first thing I said is, are you wearing layers or have you done work in the weight room? Because he definitely looks like a much more mature physically player than the last time we saw him.
All right, last question. Are you going to Nashville?
I will not be going to Nashville. We are holding off on the SEC tournament. We've got a guy that lives down there that's going to take care of some of that stuff for us, and we're going to hold on to our money for the NCAA tournament, provided that it's actually played. I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about the situation with this virus and everything.
Well, you know what I always say? Don't worry about things you can't control. You guys have heard me say that.
You're famous for that.
I'm famous for that. I'm actually the worst person that I worry about everything I can't control. All right.
I'm right there with you, Matthew. Somebody mentioned that to me earlier today, and I said, you know, I'm gonna start doing that. It's like, what can I do about it?
Yeah.
I'm a dude sitting here in Lexington. I can't do a blessed thing except wash my hands and
exactly right.
Be clean.
All right. Thanks, as always, and we will catch up with you, obviously, really soon to continue as we go through March Madness and spring football and
baseball
and
the most important,
okay. We got what do we have like
14 let's days see, it's the ninth. Something? We got
17 days.
Quick math, huh?
Yeah. All right. Okay, pal. See ya. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Jeff Drummond.
J Drum
UK. If you're on Twitter. All right, coming up next, Sherry Mazur from the V Foundation. It's March Madness. Jimmy V running around the court looking for someone to hug.
Somebody.
The greatest. Isn't there a song?
Yeah, it's Somebody to Love.
Oh, yeah, I knew.
Or Shove.
I'll have to think about that. All right, this is ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5.
Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.
Tug on the FM stereo.